You're listening to the PubK Cyber Cafe, a biweekly podcast of news about the government response to cybersecurity threats and trends, including federal, state, and international laws and regulations, and cyber in the courtroom. Hello, and welcome back to the Cyber Cafe. This is Bill Olfer, editor of PubK Cyber. Every morning, PubK Cyber captures the latest news and opinion related to government cybersecurity efforts, including federal, state, and international laws and regulations, government oversight and enforcement activity, and cyber issues in the courtroom. Every 2 weeks on this podcast, we recap the top headlines from our daily news. On Capitol Hill, Representative Ted Lieu has introduced two bills intended to strengthen data privacy protections for consumers. The Protecting Consumer Information Act would expand the Federal Trade Commission's authority to take action against companies who fail to protect consumer data. The Ending Forced Arbitration for Victims of Data Breaches Act would prevent data firms such as Equifax from enacting arbitration clauses for lawsuits related to data breaches and would nullify existing clauses. The Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee has reported out the Securing Energy Infrastructure Act, which would dumb down the nation's electrical grid to improve cybersecurity. The bill would create a pilot program to research ways to build redundancies and safety procedures into the power grid that do not rely on digital infrastructure or tools. And the House Homeland Security Committee has approved the Cyber Incident Response Teams Act, which would authorize DHS to establish cyber hunt and incident response teams. The National Institute of Standards and Technology has released guidance to help contractors implement Special Publications 800-171, which created standards for handling covered defense information and controlled unclassified information. NIST also has released templates for contractors' system security plans and plans of action and milestones. The new version of NIST Cybersecurity Framework is available in draft form. The draft provides some new advice for organizations struggling to manage cyber risk. The revision also will introduce simple descriptions and definitions for identifying all the stakeholders and associated risks in an organizational supply chain. It will also highlight methods for identifying security gaps within the supply chain itself and other management processes. The Defense Contract Management Agency's Cybersecurity Center is beginning a monthly cybersecurity violations campaign to highlight employee and contractor responsibilities for cyber violations, their effects on the agency, and the consequences of violating the rules. Violations are graded from very low, which can result in a verbal warning or a notification sent to the violator supervisor, to very high, which can also lead to mandatory training and referral to human resources, and this applies to all DCMA employees and contractors who access the agency's network. Energy Secretary Rick Perry has announced plans for an Office of Cybersecurity, Energy Security, and Emergency Response, for which he will request $96 million in funding for fiscal year 2019. The office will coordinate preparation for physical and cyber threats to critical infrastructure. However, members of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee were skeptical about the new office. Committee Chair Lisa Murkowski says the issue may not require more regulation, but more common sense and cooperation. The Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board, the agency that administers the Thrift Savings Plan, received the lowest of five possible scores in its first cyber audit. The agency has launched a number of efforts to upgrade its cybersecurity, but auditors found these policies are primarily ad hoc in nature. Equifax announced that the personal data of another 2.4 million individuals may have been stolen when its systems were breached last year. That brings the total number of those affected to 147.9 million. The announcement brought additional criticism from Congress. Senate Commerce Committee Chairman John Thune plans to ask the company for information and to express concern about its responses to the breach. State and local news. The Oregon legislature has passed a bill that would provide new protections for consumers who have had their information stolen in data breaches like the one that affected Equifax. The bill sets a 45-day notification deadline after a breach is discovered. Alabama State Senate has approved a breach notification law with a companion bill pending in the State House. The bill would set a deadline of 45 days after discovery of a breach to notify affected individuals. Only the state attorney general would have standing to sue regarding the notification requirements, and the penalty would be capped at $500,000. The New York Department of Financial Services has notified certain covered entities of their failure to certify their compliance with new cybersecurity regulations, which was required by February 15th. Shortly thereafter, the office issued new guidance reminding covered entities of their reporting obligations under the new regulations. Pennsylvania's Attorney General is suing Uber for failing to disclose a massive hack of its drivers' and customers' data. State law requires notification within a reasonable time frame, but Uber instead reportedly paid a $100,000 ransom in exchange for the hacker's silence. A federal judge in California has largely rejected a motion by Verizon to dismiss a class action lawsuit brought by victims of three Yahoo data breaches. However, the judge denied several claims by the plaintiffs, including deceit by concealment, negligence, and breach of contract. The data breaches appear to have compromised all 3 billion Yahoo users' personal details at least once. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit has revived claims against online retailer Zappos.com in relation to a 2012 data breach during which hackers stole the personal information of more than 24 million customers. The panel decided unanimously that the imminent risk of alleged identity theft was enough to establish standing to sue, reversing a decision by the District Court of Nevada. And that's the news for this week. For further reading on today's topics, you can find links to our blog posts and original sources on the PubKey Cyber page where you listen to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Join us again in 2 weeks for another recap of cybersecurity legal news in the Cyber Cafe.